You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday night at the South Point. Nothing like it. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. And when I mean nothing like it, I mean nothing like it. You won't see a scene like this. It is just trailerific is what it is. It is rodeo-rific. It's hopping. It's bumping. Tonight on the show, we have college football. Championship week officially begins. Conference USA championship about to kick off. We got the Pac-12 championship and a few NBA tip-offs to boot as well.
Yeah, if you're playing college football, as Gil said, there is the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers versus the UTSA Roadrunners that is kicking off right now. If you want to get in on that one, Western Kentucky is a 3.5-point favorite there with a total of 73.5. Holy Cross and Villanova are kicking off right now as well. Villanova is a 13.5-point favorite there with a 49.5 total. In about an hour, we got Oregon and Utah. Right now, Utah 2.5 to 3-point favorite in that one, 57.5 the total. And then later we have Eastern Washington and Montana. If you are into that type of thing, Montana 3.5-point favorites there. Over in the NBA, Miami Heat, Indiana Pacers, that is 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Pacers are 5.5-point home favorites, 206, 206.5. Your total, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Cavs and the Wizards. Wizards are 2.5 to 3-point home favorites, 208.5, 209 your total. Timberwolves and the Nets at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. The Nets are 7.5 to 8-point home favorites, 222, 222.5 your total. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, the Sixers and the Hawks. The Hawks are 2.5 to 3-point home favorites, 216, 216.5 your total. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, Magic and the Rockets. The Rockets are 2.5-point home favorites over the Magic, 216.5, 217 the total there. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, the Pelicans and the Mavericks. The Mavericks are 6.5-point home favorites, 215, 215.5 the total. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the Celtics and the Jazz. The Jazz are 7.5 to 8-point home favorites, 210, 210.5 the total there. 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, the Suns and the Warriors. Warriors are big, 7, 7.5-point home favorites there, 215.5, 216 the total. And then 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific is the Clippers and the Lakers. Lakers are 2.5-point home favorites, 218, 218.5 the total in that one. Kelly, any big NBA injury news we're monitoring here?
Well, no Bam Adebayo, no Jimmy Butler for the Miami Heat tonight. Those would be the big ones, so keep an eye out on that if you're looking to get in on that game. And then over in that Sixers-Atlanta Hawks game that a lot of eyes will be on, no Cam Reddish again and no Bogdanovich again for the Hawks. Other than that, we do have Karl Anthony Towns. I believe he is a game time decision. I haven't seen an update on him. Yeah, questionable Friday. Should be a game time decision for that game at the Brooklyn Nets. So that's a big number. Could get even bigger if he doesn't play. Definitely keep your eyes out for that. And then later tonight, no Devin Booker in that rematch with the Warriors. As far as the Lakers-Clippers game goes, looks like all the Lakers will be playing. We've got, yeah, Anthony Davis, LeBron, all good to go tonight against the Clippers.
9 games in the association, 9 home favorites.
Yeah. Devin Booker's absence, ergo, why the Warriors are such big favorites. Suns trying to win their 19th in a row, but as 7.5-point dogs at San Francisco tonight in the Golden State Warriors. Tonight, Pete Futak, college football, will talk all championship week with him. We'll go through every single injury report in the National Football League. Just one item to talk about at the top before we do it game by game, which is the Daniel Jones week-long saga has ended. He was playing, then he was not playing, then he was playing. Now he's not playing. According to Joe Judge, he was not cleared for contact and has been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Dolphins. And that actually moved, Matt. Were you surprised that the news of Daniel Jones' absence and Mike Glennon being the starter, John Gruden pronunciation, Mike Glennon, Dolphins moved all the way up to 6.
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of an overreaction. Also, though, with that, it doesn't look like Sterling Shepard or Kadarius Toney are going to play either. So it was kind of a trifecta there for the Giants. With all that, we'll go over our bets a little bit later. But this news started to trickle kind of late last night. I went ahead and got in on the Dolphins at 4. We talked about it on the show yesterday that I was kind of leaning that way anyway, that I kind of felt like that the Dolphins at 4 was a good play. And certainly there were some beat writers out there that were on the scent of this, and so I went ahead and played the Dolphins at four. I didn't expect it to move to six, I'll be perfectly honest.
I didn't either.
Didn't expect it to move to six, but I thought that it would move at least some and wanted to get the better of it, and yeah, 2 full points. I thought a half point maybe, but
The Kamara thing didn't move like this. Like, I mean, quarterback is more important than Alvin Kamara? I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a weird week, though, with the Daniel Jones news. Because it was like every other day, it was a different, like, it was like, oh, he's most likely not going to play. Yeah, you know, he's probably going to give it a go. And then, like, today, it's like, no, he's out.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of wacky. And it only moved, what, it moved up to 5 2 days ago when they first broke the news that he might not play. So I'm kind of with you guys. A little weird that it jumped this high now.
About last night, we should probably talk about this because it was winners all around on Thursday Night Football here. It wasn't easy.
Felt nice, though.
But in the end, it felt nice. Cowboys beat the Saints 27-17. Kelly's in game under, the only thing that
took
perished.
One L. A little bit of a bad beat, I would say.
For sure.
But, you know, the Amari Cooper got home for us, so, yes. Like, I'm not going to complain about anything.
We hit, just collectively, Cowboys' first half on a last-second field goal in the first half, the full game on the Cowboys, the Amari Cooper under, which is unbelievable because he had, like, 41 yards on the first catch or something like that, or 37, whatever it was. So he stayed under 45
and
a half.
He had two catches in the first half as well because I was on the under 3.5. And so I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, it was one catch for 41 and then another catch for zero, right? Yeah. I think that's how they ruled it.
That's right. That was right. And that was the end of Amari Cooper's contribution. But it was, you know, 20-10 late in this game until Taysom Hill threw his fourth pick of the night. This one a pick six on another really soft throw. His third pick to Trayvon Diggs was a really soft throw as well. But that put the Cowboys up 27-10. It was the first time that Cowboys preflop backers really had a chance to breathe. And then the Saints with a garbage touchdown. And you're like, really? We have to endure an onside kick here? But that was that. Cowboys win it 27-17. And so the question, Matt, becomes for you, I mean, what did we learn here? Did you learn that Taysom Hill's not ready for prime time, or the fact that he didn't have his two starting offensive tackles and or Alvin Kamara, that we should give him a pass? And on the Cowboys side, did you learn that Amari Cooper might be more to this offense than we could have imagined, and that Dak doesn't look 100%?
Yeah, I mean, so this afternoon it came out on the Taysom thing. And look, I don't think he's a good quarterback as it is anyway. That's not – I don't – you know, if you followed along, is what I thought about the Saints team even over the course of the season. I just, you know, I didn't think he was going to be very good. But
even preseason, you didn't.
So he's got
even last year.
So because of that thing that happened early in the game, so he's got the mallet finger, which is the same thing that that Russell Wilson had. So when he hit the finger on the deal and all that, so he tore that ligament in there, or whatever, and so he's got mallet finger, and so it makes a lot of sense with some of the horrific throws that he threw late in that game, because apparently, you know, as you would imagine, it got worse over the course of the game, right? I mean, like, and so he was flirting with that before that even happened, right? I mean, we were talking about that while we were still in the studio. There were several different throws that were just out of the reach of defenders and just over the head of defenders and things like that. And he was flirting with disaster, as it was anyway. And then
that was pre-mallet finger.
Yeah, and that was pre-mallet finger. And
mallet finger, by the way, injury to the end of your finger that causes it to bend inwards towards your palm. Sounds awful.
Sounds bad. Yeah. Ugh. Which I guess is why they had to splint it like straight or whatever or something. So that makes more sense now that you read that. For sure, 100%, Amari Cooper is needed in this offense for it to function properly. And then secondly, and this was something that we were picking up while we were still in here, and it really showed even throughout the rest of the course of the game, man. Dak Prescott in this calf thing, I don't know if it either never healed properly or he maybe just will not ever be the same. I don't know, but his mobility, where 2 years ago you probably would have ranked it as like a 9 out of 10. Like, it's certainly not a 10 like Lamar Jackson or something or whatever, but Dak Prescott would have certainly been in the upper 5% of quarterbacks in the league as far as mobility goes. And he's like kind of loafing around out there. I mean, like, he looks like any other quarterback out there.
There was at least a few plays last night. We were here for one of them where he was flushed out to the left side and he could have run for 10, 15 yards. And you could just see he was like, I'm going to do everything in my power not to run here.
I want to say I saw three third downs where he attempted throws that were not even close to the receiver where he could have old Dak could have easily have run and picked up the first down. So I think kind of like Matt's saying right now, I think it might be bad enough that he knows he can't even think about taking off and running on it.
But here's the other part of the question I asked this morning on the show too, which is, okay, we feel that way about them having watched them last night, but long term, and I know you have a futures ticket on them, Matt, long term, do you still consider them a legit contender for the Super Bowl? Because I'm not sure I don't, even having saw that last night.
Carl Anthony Towns out tonight, by the way. That just coming down.
I think that they're fine. I do think, though, this defense is – they give up a lot of big plays. Like, this defense gives up a lot of big plays. And I think it's just the nature of the way that they play defense. But – that's kind of one of the things we've seen shift in today's NFL defenses, where they don't want to give up these big plays, right? Like, everybody kind of plays a little bit softer, wants to keep things in front of them, doesn't want to give up these massive, huge plays. And as bad as Taysom Hill was last night, I mean, they gave up multiple 20-yard gains to this Saints team.
That little Jordan Humphrey touchdown was just a broken.
With no receivers, with no talent, with really, no playmakers on the Saints side. And so that is the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause on the Cowboys side of things, man. And then also the decision-making. Again, I understand it was Dan Quinn doing it. But despite the fact that you've got Ezekiel Elliott with a knee problem, they decide to bang him into line a million times over Tony Pollard. I just didn't get either.
They sort of remind me of the Steelers defense in that it's not a good collective defense, but they have like a few great athletes. Yeah. Of great players on the defense. We'll come back. We'll do the injury reports. Pete Futak will join us on College Football. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There is a new DraftKings Sportsbook opening at Foxwoods Casino, and Mitch and Paulie are going to be there. Follow the money Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning as they're hitting the road next week. If you're in the area there in Connecticut, come down, meet them. Be sure to tune in every day from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern with Follow the Money on Foxwoods Casino. You've been to Foxwoods Casino.
I have.
It is enormous.
It is an entire city under a roof. Yes, it is gigantic.
And so I asked you off air, I said, if you placed that on the strip, your comparison would be what?
I said, like, it would take up the whole area where, like, Caesars is, but Caesars is, like, made up of, like, 10 different buildings, But, like, this would just be, like, two buildings because they have an entire non-smoking casino to go along with, like, the normal casino. So it's a sight to see. There's no doubt about that.
What casino have you not been to? What was that one we went to in northern Mississippi? What was that one that we went to?
Gold Strike.
Gold Strike, baby. Was the town again?
That is,
begin with the T.
Tunica.
Yes. Shout out Tunica.
Yeah. Tunica.
Yeah. Skill Alexander, Matt Good Brown, stuff. Kelly Bidlin. Western Kentucky takes a 7-0 lead over UTSA, beginning here early, first 2 minutes actually of the Conference USA title game. UTSA's undefeated season has already gone by the wayside. So Western Kentucky, 3.5-point pre-flop favorites in that one. Right now, 6.5-point in-game favorites total. Up to 79.5, make it 80.5. Again, just over 2 minutes into this ball game. Shall we start with the NFL injury reports?
Let's fire it off.
Let's do it Sunday morning. Early window, Buccaneers at the Falcons. The first of the double-digit parade begins.
Yeah, so this one is at least a half point tick down. So it's come off the 11 at majority of the books, rest of country. It's down to 10.5, 50.5 or 51. Is the total there. So a little bit of Falcons support here coming in. Of course, we know Antonio Brown's not going to play for the Bucs. He has been suspended because he did a bad.
He did.
He faked his card.
He's also like stupid lucky because that's a felony in some spot. So it's like, just take your three games.
He said, yeah, I'm not appealing.
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
not
good.
Appealing.
I'll take my three games.
Yeah, no, nothing. Bruce Arians actually came out today when they asked him about it, and he said he'd actually say, go in and check all the cards all over again, like everyone's cards all over again. Because he's like, I mean, if he did it, I'm sure someone else did it. So he said, let's do it again. Anyway, Ali Marpet, their starting guard, is questionable in this one. Jordan Whitehead, safety, is out in this one. Then Jamel Dean, one of their corners, is questionable as well. One of the good things for them is it does look like that Dean and Devin White, also who's listed as questionable, are going to play for them as well. And they did activate Carlton Davis as well, and it looks like that they're going to try and get him out there as well. On the Falcons side of things, and this has kind of been the Falcons' injury report all year, they just never have anybody out. Only Jonathan Bullard, defensive end for them, is listed as – he's the only one with a designation at all. He's out. No one even is questionable, so he's the only guy that they're not going to have out there. This is one of those games that we were talking about, guys. It's like it feels like on the surface that this is too many points, but then you kind of start to put things together and you realize that, okay, it is one of the top three offenses in the NFL going up against one of the bottom three defenses in the NFL. And even with it sitting at kind of that 10 and a half or 11, you start to go, okay, well, where does the success lie for the Falcons in this thing? Like, where do they keep this thing within double digits? Because the offense, you're like, oh, okay, well, then they'll score. Well, look, the offense wasn't really clicking anyway when Calvin Ridley was out there, but when he has not been out there, what has happened to this offense now is it's plummeted down to the 31st overall offense DVOA in the league. It's bottom eight according to Pro Football Focus as well, and then all the other stuff kind of adds up as well. They're not having any success on early down because they're incredibly predictable because they have zero run game to speak of whatsoever. It's one of the worst run games that you're ever going to see. And what that does is you just know they're going to have to pass all the time. And so when teams know exactly what you're going to do, your early down success rate ends up 30th in the league, which is what's going on with this Falcons team right now. And so while I thought it at first, I thought maybe this could end up being maybe even a contest play for me or something like that. And then I couldn't get there because I think that there is a fairly decent, more times than not, scenario where the Bucs don't even have to light it up and they could still cover this number. Like, I think the Bucs could score 27 points in this game and still easily cover a 10.5 or an 11 just from the fact that the Falcons haven't really been able to do any sort of anything outside of Cordarrelle Patterson on the offensive side of the ball. And so as long as Kyle Pitts goes and gets like 50 or 60 yards for me and Kelly in this game, then I'll be happy. But I'll be watching it. There'll be no bets placed for me in this one. So as long as Kyle Pitts doesn't get injured and gets 50 or 60 yards and kind of gets us chips away a little bit closer to what we need, that'll be all I need out of this game.
It is so sad that you have to be like, if the Bucs can bottle up Cordarrelle Patterson, they should be fine. It's like, man, that's how big of an impact this guy has made on team.
It really is, but see, I saw a lot of people who were talking about this and saying, like, I mean, the guy's 30 years old. Why are we, like, making such a big deal? The thing is he never had much run in the NFL. So it's not like there's, like, all these miles on this guy's tires or whatever or something like that. I mean, he was primarily a special teams guy or a gadget player when he would play, but he played very limited amount of snaps and outside of that. So it's like, it's not like your typical 30-year-old in the NFL, right? I mean, it's a dude that really, this is his first year that he's gotten any sort of like actual significant run on a consistent basis.
Two things. One, the first meeting of these two teams this year, Falcons and Bucks, not sure if you brought this up, but it was 28-25 in the fourth quarter. And then remember, that was the two Matt Ryan pick six game.
Yeah, I had money on the Falcons for that game. Yeah.
And it ended up 48-25. The Bucks won the fourth quarter 20-0. But the flip side of that is the Bucks had Calvin Ridley back then too. So I'm not sure how much you care about meeting number one.
Yeah, I didn't really factor that one kind of like in really at all. And the other thing too is that was also super fresh into this Bucs defense being like completely ravaged with injuries because like it was at the end of training camp and then into week one where they just basically lost, you know, their entire secondary. A couple of the linebackers were out as well. And so that early in the season for them was not great on the defensive side of the ball. They're actually much healthier now, probably as healthy as they've been since week one of preseason, you know, for this Bucs team. So, yeah, I just, like I said, I'll watch this one. I'll pay attention to what the Bucs look like, but that's about it, and that's more just for kind of trying to assess future type stuff.
All right, Cardinals at Bears, also in the early window, also a big road favorite, though not quite as big with the Cardinals. They're 7.5-point favorites at the Bears on Sunday morning.
Yeah, looking here at a total of, let's see, about 42.5, 43 here. And what the big news is we're going to get Andy Dalton, not going to be Justin Fields. Justin Fields, they actually said he ain't even going to play. So I think the backup now is going to be Nick Foles for the Bears in this thing. And then on top of that, the other real big news here, Akeem Hicks remains out for this Bears team, which is bad for them. And then Allen Robinson is doubtful, also bad for this team. Damien Williams is out as well. And so they're just beat up. No real playmakers. Again, it's kind of like another one of those situations where we look around, it's almost like the Saints at this point, because you're just all these guys that are hurt and all these guys that aren't going to play. And there's nobody out there for this team to really like get it going and do anything. On the Cardinals side of things, the big news is what's going to happen with Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. Every report says that it looks like they're going to go. But guys, they also went with the caveat again in Cliff Kingsbury. At least he's being fully transparent with all this, as he says, listen, our record certainly plays a factor in this.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's very honest.
Yeah, he says our record certainly plays a factor in this, where it is one of those deals that we're in a pretty good position. And so,
and we keep winning, so why change? Yeah, is the subtitle,
yeah,
by the
way.
Yeah.
And in this one, the reason I'm not super 100% confident they're going to play is because now you look at this deal with no Akeem Hicks, no Allen Robinson. It's going to be Dalton. It's going to be, we already know that all the other guys that are on IR for this Bears team and all that. They win this game with Colt McCoy. I mean, they do. You know, like, they win this game with Colt McCoy. So it's kind of, again, do they even risk even the slightest little thing? If Kyler Murray's ankle is 90%, do you even risk it at all? And he brought up DeAndre Hopkins specifically, and this is one of the things we've talked about several times on here with these wide receivers. He goes, here, the problem is like with wide receivers and these hamstring things, is like, we are not going to put him out there.
Yeah.
If he even says he feels it in pregame, like, we're not putting him out there because that just lingers forever.
And hamstrings, yes, yeah. they linger forever.
Yeah,
for
especially
sure.
With these wide receivers, right? Because you're sprinting like every single play, yeah. You know, and it just doesn't work out.
And plus, I mean, Hopkins has kind of proven at this point he's a guy that you need to protect from himself, right? Where he's running out there, what was that week 8 where he's running out there when he's still injured, running out back in the field to play, and somehow Kingsbury had no idea he was doing that and wasn't supposed to be doing that. So, yeah, you almost need to protect him from himself.
Yeah, for me, it's a teaser leg. I wouldn't lay the 7.5 at this point. And again, even if Kyler and company do play, again, it's the same thing we'll talk about in another couple of games here, but there's a high amount of motivation for them to not put them in late in this game.
Hard to argue with the strategy. Again, as long as they keep winning, and they won twice with Colt McCoy already, why not keep going? We'll come back. We'll continue with the early window in the NFL. And Matt has something to say to all the people who said Saints were a bad beat last night because of Taysom Hill's 4 picks. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Celebrate everyday MVPs by playing in the Fantasy Football MVP Challenge. Play free in this 5-part contest series and compete for a share of $50,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/MVP Challenge now to get in on the action. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Visa and its client financial institutions have not sponsored for offer this promotion in any way. Tweet from Cowboys_Cubs1, primetime. That's it. I'm spending my Friday p.m. watching Primetime Action and playing a drinking game honoring America's team, taking a drink every time someone in a cowboy hat passes by the VSiN Live studio during the show. Right behind us.
He is going to get hammered.
That's a dangerous game,
man. He is going to be hammered by in about a half an hour.
It's going to be a long night.
I've never actually focused out there before, but yeah, I'll see how many I can count this segment
also,
alone.
Happy birthday, Kelly Piblin.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
Hey.
Appreciate it.
Happy birthday, man. What is it? 23, 24, 16, 17?
I wish. 35.
What's on the agenda for this evening?
We'll discuss that off air.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a little Bed Bath & Beyond for Kelly. You never know. A little late night shopping. Before we get to continue these games, yesterday you were a little, I'll go with triggered. I don't know. Maybe not triggered. Maybe that makes it sound like it's your issue. But you, when the Cowboys won this game and when they covered it, you saw at least one or two folks say, "Oh, bad beat."
More than even that. Like I saw 5 or 6 different people that were on the Saints side going, "Yeah, well, you know, if Taysom Hill doesn't throw four picks, then everyone's like, yeah, you know, but that's part of the handicap of the game, right? Like you look at this and you say, hey, the reason I'm going to bet Team A is because Team B's quarterback is, one, not even a quarterback. I mean, literally a guy that plays four different positions who is now basically the emergency quarterback at this point because he lost the job to Jameis Winston. He didn't win the job over Trevor Siemian, and then now Trevor Siemian's just been so bad that they were forced to go with him in the first place. But part of the reason that you bet a team like the Cowboys against a team like the Saints is because there's no playmakers out there, and if there's no playmakers out there with a bad quarterback, what do you expect is going to happen over the course of a game? And we talked about this. It's like, yeah, it happened late in the game. He flirted with three or four different chances earlier in that game to throw it to the other team as well, and it just didn't happen to work out. And so it's like being so incredibly results-oriented to sit there and look at it and go like, well, had he not thrown four picks, it's like, well, yeah, but you bet against guys like Taysom Hill. That's what you do. Like you look at it and you look at a game and you say, I'm betting against a guy like Taysom Hill. I'm betting against a guy who's making his fifth start in the NFL with no playmakers whatsoever in a one-dimensional offense because you can't run the ball at all. And also, I mean, there's reasons that you make these certain decisions, and so you can't look back and say, oh, because he threw four picks is the reason I lost my bet. It's like, no, man, like you have to assume that this guy who is not very good at quarterbacking is going to make plays in a game that not very good quarterbacks make.
Yeah, I think that same person would say, oh, well, you predicted he was going to have the mallet finger too. But I think what you said is the most important thing, which is, let's be honest about it. There were like two or three others that he almost threw away in the first half. Could have been uglier in the first half. And I do think that listen, we're not going to use this game as the case study of, wow, one side was clearly better than the other. Because let's be honest, it was a sloppy football game on both sides. But generally, when you throw it up in the air, that ain't a bad beat.
Yeah.
That's just your football team was missing Kamara. It was missing two offensive linemen. And it got closer to getting there than it probably should have. You're right. You almost got there, but I still don't think it was the right bet to make.
And you also look and you also look at the game and you say, well, you know, we didn't know until we were on air, which fortunately we were able to go in and make bets against it or something like that. But we had no idea that Amari Cooper was literally going to be out there for just handful of snaps over the course of the game. I mean, this was a thing where it was like, no, he's going to play. And so we're like, oh, okay, Amari Cooper's going to play. This is going to be a full-strength offense. And so this is another reason why we're going to play the Cowboys. Like, we could have whined up and down, I guess, had it not gone our way that, oh, man, we didn't know Amari Cooper wasn't going to play a handful of snaps. Well, that's part of it as well. Like, we got to pay attention to that stuff. And if we're betting it early, then we're taking the chance that that's kind of the case. It's just there's so much results-oriented stuff that goes on in this. It gets me to a point where I'm like, guys, like, sometimes you take the L. You take the L and you move on.
Yeah. And you could do this with lots of football games, but some football games are clearly worse. You could make a better case for it than that one. And I'll even acknowledge that Saints, that block in the back on a big Saints play in the second half that triggered Sean Payton, shouldn't have been a block in the back. I agree with it. But I wouldn't exactly stake your claim on that game as, like, the worst thing that's ever happened betting-wise, that's for sure. Giants at Dolphins, as we mentioned earlier, no Daniel Jones. Mike Glennon will be the starter for the Giants, and this moved on that.
Yeah, no Daniel Jones, and then just, I mean, a horrible, horrible injury report here for this Giants team overall. So they're kind of blocking slash. He's actually gotten a couple of receptions here, but like they're Caden Smith is out, that they're tight end. Kadarius Toney's doubtful, as is Sterling Shepard. We know doubtful means out. Adoree Jackson, corner, out for them as well. Kyle Rudolph is questionable, so they would be, if he can't go, they're basically without, you know, a tight end that's played any sort of snaps all year. John Ross is questionable. I mean, it was just a really, really bad injury report for this Giants team. And
every week.
Yeah, and so then this comes out, and, you know, it moves this thing a couple of points. On the Dolphins side, it's pretty good, all things considered, for them. I mean, you do have Jalen Phillips, their linebacker, who's been playing really, really good for them. He is questionable, but outside of that, all their real big guys are expected to go in this one. So, healthy Dolphins team, really beat up Giants team. Like I said, I'm on Dolphins at 4. Smoke started coming out last night that Daniel Jones wasn't going to be able to play. I had no idea that it was going to look as bad as it was, but it certainly looked like that Sterling Shepard wasn't going to go, and then now you had Kadarius Toney in there as well, and it's just a bad situation all around. for this Giants team. And then the other thing that you really, you dig in a little bit here and you start to look at these things. And this Dolphins team over the past month has been pretty good. They're in the upper half of just about every single statistical category that there is. And you're going, oh, so you mean when they're in the upper 16? Well, yeah, but that's still pretty good. Like, I mean, like if you're in the upper 16 of pretty much all the stats across the board, that's pretty good, you know? And so you look at this team that is getting got healthy on the defensive side of the ball, specifically at the cornerback position where they're really, really strong. And now there's no receivers. There's no receivers for Mike Glennon to throw the ball to anyway. So they're going to be able to just man up, right, against the no receivers. And so now you've got that, and now you're just going to get – I bet you it's blitz fest again, just like we saw against Lamar Jackson. I bet you they blitz 70% of the downs on Mike Glennon because the two corners are just going to be able to cover.
Prove me wrong, Mike Glennon. Yeah.
Like, they're just going to be able to cover, and they're going to be able to cover. And I think it could be – I think it could be very interesting. I think there could be, like, 4 or 5 turnovers type situation in this game.
I haven't counted up. I haven't looked or researched who's lost the most games to injury of NFL teams this year. But in terms of non-offensive linemen, offensive games missed to injury, the Giants have to be just gobs of games ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
They just have – they're never at full strength on offense. And you do kind of – we've said this on the show before. You do feel bad for a guy like Daniel Jones because you wonder – and I can already hear the Giants fans screaming at me when I say this, but you wonder if you can truly assess him over time.
Yeah, because it's just you take a look at some of these other like rookie quarterbacks and stuff, and it's like or some of these younger type quarterbacks, and you know it's look at the weapons Joe Burrow has, look at the weapons Justin Herbert has, at the weapons these guys have, and it's like yes, they're playing awesome, but it's. It's way easier to play awesome when you've got Joe Mixon and Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins than it is when you always are playing with like backup wide receivers.
People
and
are
backup brain, running backs.
It's amazing how our brains tend to purge that kind of you know detail about stuff. Vikings at Lions. Let's squeeze this in. Also, another of the big favorites on the road. This has hovered at 7 all week. The 7.5s finally started coming up with the Vikings here at the Lions, and that's where we are now.
Yep, it is. There is 1-7 left out there, so if you are looking for the Vikings, you are going to want to go and get that now. 46.5, 47 is your total in this one. Of course, we know the big injury news here from the Vikings side of things is the fact that Dalvin Cook isn't going to play. Anthony Barr, their linebacker, is questionable. Eric Kendricks, another one of their linebackers, is questionable in this thing as well. Offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw is also out for the Vikings. But on the line side of things, we know kind of how this – Michael Brockers, one of their only defensive players with a pulse, is questionable for them. DeAndre Swift, who is by far their best player on the entire team, is out in this game. Trey Flowers, also out, their best – you know, their best linebacker. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that this team is playing pretty shorthanded as it is anyway. And then now you've got like a DeAndre Swift who's not going to be out there, who really was kind of the only person that was getting in any sort of like above replacement level kind of snaps for this team. I mean, he was the only guy that was able to do anything. So it doesn't surprise me at all that this number went ahead and moved a little bit today. I think people started to figure out as well with stuff that we were talking about all week that, oh, by the way, this Madison kid is – it's pretty good. Like it's not like this is some sort of massive drop off or anything like that. I mean, it's going to be a beat down here. I have Vikings and teasers. I think this is a super, super, super strong teaser.
I got Vikings and teasers too. I do not understand why this has stayed at 7 all week. And now even 7.5, I do not understand why the Colts one soared and this one didn't. We'll come back. We'll talk college football. Pete Futek, championship week next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at the VSiN store. It is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift for that special sports betting someone in your life. VSiN.com/subscribe.
We told them. You people north of the border, we told you.
Jeez.
It's 127.12 today. It was 126.86 yesterday. Yeah. 127.12 today. They're costing themselves money every day they don't go and just go ahead and buy this.
It's real.
Get it done, guys.
Currency exchange information and get advice from Matt Brown.
Just get it done.
Let's talk some college football because I want to get some in-game advice on this Western Kentucky UTSA track meet from Pete Futak from College Football News. Peter, how you doing, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you on a Friday night?
We're good. Happy championship weekend, man. It's awesome.
It is. It's like, you know, this is when we get to unwrap the gifts. You know, all the goofy stuff we've been going over for the last 3 months. And now, you know, 48 hours from now, we get to actually know who's going where, even though we already kind of know who's going where. But we'll have some fun tomorrow.
Well, let's do this one by one. Let's start with the game that has already started. We're 3:08 left in the first quarter. Western Kentucky just dropped a sure touchdown pass that would have put him up. Oh, my God.
Boy. Oh, he touched it nine times.
Oh, man. Would have put him up 17-14 with over 3 minutes left in the first quarter. As it is, it's 14-10 UTSA. 88.5 the current in-game total. Would you make a play either way? The side is off the board
under,
right now.
Under. Yeah, I am a believer. You stick with the plan. I do think at some point UTSA's offense is going to slow things down a little bit and that defense is going to be fine, except that it's not so far. These defenses, at least the Western Kentucky defense, is having big problems, lost their best defensive lineman. It's going to be a rough one. I picked UTSA to win this thing. I just don't see the Hilltopper stopping them. But that Western Kentucky offense can really rip it fast. But time of possession is going to be lopped on to UTSA. I'm still staying under. If you can get it in game under 88, go for it.
Pete, about 15 minutes from now, they're kicking off down the street from us here, Oregon and Utah. Right now, Utah, 2.5 or 3-point favorite in this one, about a 57.5 total. Do we get, is Oregon still, do they still have some fight left in them knowing that they're no longer part of the four?
They usually do. You know, the Rose Bowl is a pretty good incentive. And if you stick with the narrative of Oregon in years past, the November loss to Utah was very, very pickable. Just because that's just how Oregon kind of rolls. Utah's great at home. The energy there was great. And then Oregon realizes, yeah, it's got more talent than everyone else in the conference. And so then they rise up and win the Pac-12 championship. And then they go to the Rose Bowl. Nobody wants to really see an Ohio State-Oregon repeat game, but I think that's what we're probably going to get. Oregon just got the talent, but we'll see. I mean, those lines for Utah are great. They're still nasty. They're still tough. I think I'm sticking with the original call, though. I'm keeping just Oregon to win this thing outright.
Tomorrow morning, Pete, first game with national playoff implications, the Big 12 championship between Baylor and Oklahoma State. Cowboys favored now up to 6, it is. Cowboys by 6, total at 46.
Yeah, I love Oklahoma State. You know, look, that's a very good Baylor team, very well coached. That defense is good, running game good. I think the theme of this weekend, and we'll see starting tonight, as you kind of already alluded to Oregon, is who feels disrespected? Who's coming back from that, you know, that one thing that kind of is going to be gnawing at them? Obviously, Oregon being embarrassed by Utah the first time around. I think Oklahoma State, you kind of heard it in the post-game comments and everything, that those guys on the other side in the Oklahoma uniforms can play a little too. But still, that defense that hadn't allowed more than 24 points all year, gave up over 400 yards for the first time all season, had a rough time with the Sooners. I think they come out and have a great defensive performance. Baylor's going to be all right, but take Oklahoma State in the 6.
Georgia and Alabama, the game everybody is going to be paying attention to in the afternoon. We've got a 6.5-point spread now in favor of Georgia. This thing did touch 7 a couple of different times. Every time it's touched 7, it gets bought right back down to 6.5. I took a piece at 7 of Alabama getting a full touchdown here. I'll take it. I think there's been times, if you watch this, Pete, I mean, you certainly do. I mean, the box scores in the final scoreboard, I think, doesn't necessarily show this. Georgia offense has sputtered, certainly, at times, despite the fact that the point totals are still up there whenever you look kind of like down their schedule here. And, you know, getting a full touchdown with Alabama just seems like a little bit too much in this one. Am I way off base here?
No, you're never, ever, ever wrong. And even if it doesn't go your way, you're not wrong with ever going with Alabama, especially as an underdog. It just kind of seems like this is one of those teams. And you can see on Nick Saban's face, you can see the players, they just wanted to get to this point. Like, they had first and 97 yards in the season to go last week against Auburn. They got through it, but they got by. They certainly did not play all that well. But now you didn't kill it. You didn't kill the zombie. They're still alive, and we've seen this program, when it gets another shot, when it gets its chance, it gets in and rips through it. It'll be interesting to see how this goes, because Georgia hasn't been tested in a while. They haven't had any sort of stress. Stetson Bennett has not faced a pass rush at all. Now it's going against one of the top pass rushing teams in the country. That team, that Alabama team's got guys. They've got NFL guys. They're playing for the college football playoff life. Georgia is already in pretty much no matter what. I like this Alabama straight up. I just kind of feel like this is one of those games that Bama just sort of rises up. And I can't get it out of my head, because it's in my DNA to always pick Alabama. I just kind of keep thinking to that college football playoff a couple of years ago, where they kind of got in by the back door, and then all of a sudden, okay, Clemson's going to take them down, that Kelly Bryant Clemson team, and all of a sudden the defense said, nope, now it's on. As long as Stetson Bennett's back there and they got the NFL quarterback sitting on the sidelines, I kind of like Alabama in this.
And did I hear you say money line Alabama? Is that what you said when you meant straight
up?
Yeah,
why not? If you're going to do it, do it. I mean, this is not a if you're thinking Alabama, I mean, you're not wrong. Again, it's Alabama. You're not crazy. And if it doesn't work, okay, well, let's tip your cap. And Alabama's probably made you a whole lot of money in the past. But if you're going to go in, take Alabama the money.
All right, American Athletic, concurrent with the SEC Championship. Cincinnati trying to remain undefeated.
That stinks, by the way.
What's that?
That stinks. Let's just go with this. That American Athletic Conference Championship should have been last night. The MAC Championship should have been Wednesday.
I agree.
No one's going to watch this.
I agree.
No one's going to watch these games. Nobody. No one's going to watch the ACC Championship. No one's going to watch, the Houston game. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, that's okay. You know what my question is. Do you think Houston can cover? Do you think Houston can actually pull off an upset here?
I like Houston. I mean, maybe it's just me. I know I'm trying to make my own narrative here that I just don't buy into Cincinnati. But that's a team. This is a Houston team that's gone under the radar. It's won 11 straight. Now, we've ripped on Cincinnati's schedule all year. And Houston's schedule makes Cincinnati's look like they played in the SEC West. But they've got a defense. They've been kind of rising up. That offense has got good enough guys to at least hang around. And that Houston D is by far the best that Cincinnati's going to have dealt with since playing in South Bend. You're not crazy to think outright, even with the big 10.5 or 11 or wherever you're getting this thing, that Houston could pull this off. I think Cincinnati wins. I think it's more like last year's American Athletic Conference Championship game, where it comes down to the very end. They got a walk-off field goal against Tulsa last year. I would not be surprised if it's something like the same. I think, look, Cincinnati comes out and buries them. Okay, fine. I think that 10.5 is just insanely too much.
Pete, Incarnate Word in Sam Houston State. No, I'm kidding. Let's talk Iowa and Michigan. As we sit right now, Michigan, 10.5 to 11-point favorites in this one. Really low total of 43.5.
Yeah. I kind of don't want anything to do with it. Michigan's going to win. I don't really want anything to do with it, only because that Iowa defense just doesn't allow points. Their offense doesn't score. They're just not going to put up anything. The only thing that factors into this game is, can the Iowa defense take the ball away? Because the offense is not going to do anything. It's a Kirk Ferentz team. They got a future NFL perennial Pro Bowler in Tyler Lindebaum, either at center or guard up there. But that offensive line's awful. They just give up way too many plays in the backfield. That Michigan defensive line's going to take over. But I think they keep it ultra-conservative. They don't take any chances, because Iowa cannot win this game if it doesn't come up with three takeaways. I kind of like the under, and I kind of like Iowa with the points, but not enough to really go with it that hard.
All right, Pete, one team answer. As you mentioned, there's also a MAC championship, the Sun Belt, Mountain West, ACC. There's also a random game between Southern Cal and Cal. What's your single favorite bet tomorrow?
Besides Oklahoma State, I'll just rapid fire through you. I'll say Louisiana and the Sun Belt championship, Kent State. in a crazy game against Northern Illinois. They're going to be fast on that track, and that inside track. And what are we missing here?
That's
game
it.
Are we not
I'm sorry, we're out of time, Peter. I'm sorry.
You guys have yourself a Friday night.
You too. More NFL next. VSiN's Primetime Action.